Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
After 2 years almost, we have the debut of Mean Genius. I got to talk with Tony probably at the beginning of this pandemic. It seems like so long ago, but you know what? Was that like 22 months ago almost or something like that?
Yeah, that was. Man, it's so brutal.
We got Mean Genius here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Why don't you, because people aren't watching it right now. They're just listening to the audio. Tell us what your name is and what you do in Mean Genius, this new project.
My name is Tony Abreu and I play guitar.
John and I sing and play guitar.
I'm Kristen and I play bass and do background vocals.
Awesome. And then the debut show is going down on January 22nd at the brand new Crocodile. It's happening, right?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
It's crazy because this show was supposed to happen. I mean, we booked this show for March 27th, 2020. That's just going to be a punchline in itself. Now yep. I think about it, you know, because we were literally shut down just to. God, like
that's why we did the 20s outfits.
Right? Yeah. We came out. We had fun with it, man. We're like first heist of the 20s. We're like, dude, it's the 20s. We had a ball with that. We had a whole deal, and we had a lot of momentum into it. It was people were excited. We were super excited, and then to be shut down, man. It's so funny too because I recently came across this post that I had written. When the show was postponed and I said, yeah, guys, you know, we're probably looking good for maybe June or July.
Yeah.
You know, that in itself is just, yeah. Yeah. We did not expect this, man. You know, and of course all the studios were closed down too, you know, the ones that we like tracking at. And so, so it was just kind of, well, you know, rather than
kind of comical at this point, it's
like talking about a band or promoting a band that hadn't put music out there, we decided, well, you know, it'd be tacky to do so.
I just wanted to finally, when we do put out music, it's on Betamax or like Laserdisc.
Yeah.
There you go. There's an audience for that.
Yeah.
Dude, so the show was, you know, that was the idea, right? Like 2 weeks, we're just going to, you know, flatten the curve and we'll all be back to normal. And
yeah, you know. Right.
But the new Crocodile space is beautiful. Apparently, yeah. I haven't been there yet. Apparently, it's beautiful.
Got a legit huge crocodile on the ceiling. So
awesome!
That's cool.
And you guys are going to be playing. It's going to be Van Epps's final farewell.
Yes.
And it's also going to be Woodshed show. So tell me. So you, Tony, you have a strong connection with Van Epps. Is that right?
Yeah, we started. We started playing together. They were there for the Windowpane put an album called Daybreak in 2000. Mm-hmm. And that was the first show with Van Epps. And that was also the first show that this guy was in a band called Riot and Rhythm.
Yep.
And they were on that bill with us too at the Showbox.
Yeah. I think we opened up that set.
And a funny side note is in my Facebook, you know, they do that Facebook memories thing.
Yeah.
There today. And it was 10 years ago today that Windowpane had first sold out the Showbox. And it was Brad Steenrod from Van Epps who had posted the photo of it saying sold out.
Yeah.
It was a big moment.
What is a Van Epps?
You know?
I actually remember that show, too.
I'm not sure.
They have a song called R&R, And they ended up naming it after all of us rocking out in the crowd, right, in rhythm. We were all just chilling there, rocking out. And they're like, yeah, no, we named this song after you. We had no name for it. We saw you guys enjoying it. R&R, there it is.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome. Do that, man. That's really cool.
I'm on the record. That's cool.
Like, that's right.
I remember one time I was singing with them at, like, a sunset or something. And, like, I was out back having a cigarette. And they're like, where's Georges? Like, it was super ridiculous. I made it just in time to sing, too. Awesome. The last word of the song.
Perfect.
Where are you at? Are you in your bedroom?
I built a studio. Yeah, I built this like recording little area, during this pandemic, nice. You know.
You're bored?
Yeah, I got a, I bought like a nice DSLR camera, converted it to doing live streaming stuff, soundboard and a nice microphone. And yeah, so doing what I can. Doing every interview from home now. What was that?
Those are records in the back there?
No, those are something we call CDs.
Oh,
crazy. Compact discs.
Scale looks weird from here. They look taller than that, but yeah, that weird thing.
Yeah, I still listen to compact discs. That's a weird thing, right? You know what's funny is cars don't even come with compact disc players.
I know. It drives me nuts, dude.
I had to specifically ask for a stereo with a CD player. And they were like, I think we have one in the back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got this one. We got to dust it off real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait. Okay, Boomer. Yeah, we'll get you a CD player. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
So the show. So it's the end of the line for Van Epps, but it's the beginning for you guys. So that's kind of a cool, like, little moment there. It's the beginning and the ending. But I'm curious. So you've debuted this new song, The Ritual. Where did you guys end up, recording and how did you work on this during, this time that you couldn't play shows, you had to postpone? Where'd you guys record?
We recorded at the London Bridge Studios.
Awesome.
With producer John Plum. We went straight to 2-inch tape, just played it live. And
it's Jonathan.
That's right. Jonathan. I have too many Johns in my life. I can't keep track of them. But
there's one back.
But
there.
Yeah, and that was back in September. We went and we tracked like three songs at that time.
That was September. Huh?
And once we found out studio was open, we were able to get in there. It was we jumped on it. But as far as writing, God, we wrote that one. It was almost a year ago. In fact, I think it was like a year ago.
Yeah. He's playing the Undertaker bells on the song.
Yeah.
Undertaker bell.
Jonathan.
Which has got that wrestling tie-in with the Mean Gene.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Mean Gene. I like that. Okay, so the name Mean Genius, I might have asked you, Tony, in the past about this, but, I just curious again, in case people didn't listen to the first interview, what's the origin of the name Mean Genius, and is there a Mean Genius in the band?
We just recently found out it's actually Will Andrews who came up with the name.
Yeah. When we were naming the mothership, we like had a whiteboard and I just saw it on there. I'm like, but I don't want to come across like we think we're geniuses. Like that's the
No, not at all.
But it's like, Mean Genius.
Yeah.
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
It was funny. We had just had this.
Are those Macho Man glasses over there?
Sorry. This great jam. And, it was like within the first month that we all started jamming together, which that was kind of a fluke in itself. I was at a friend's kind of barbecue thing, and John was there. We were just hanging out and I was leaving, and John's like, oh man, where are you going? I'm going, oh, I'm going to jam with the guys. And he kind of got this look on his face, and I'm like, dude, how about I go home?
Right. I was barefoot, like
You got a guitar on, man. You got a name.
Yeah. just went and grabbed another guitar and we went to jam, and the first jam I think we played for almost an hour nonstop.
Just one whole take.
And afterwards we were like, whoa, there's something here. And then anyway, God, I think I lost track. What was the question? Sorry.
Yeah, something about Earth.
It was how
we... just the name, but John just kind of
So this is like the second or third jam we did, like Till the Rat or something. Anyway, we were back at this friend's place, and we were just kind of hanging out,
mm-hmm.
And John just looks at me and goes, what do you think of the name Mean Genius? And I think I thought about it for about 3 seconds before the same dude, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan.
Oh, nice.
But it was taken. So then I wanted to be Ronald Reagan.
I like your glasses, man. Macho man.
Ooh, yeah, straight macho glasses.
You got a good voice, man, too.
Yeah.
Just for me. Yeah.
That's good.
You do it all the time.
He's got all the wrestler impressions.
Yeah, right? I just watched wrestling when I was like a young kid, and it's just
stuck
in my head. And
yes.
Like, speaking of Will Andrews.
Well, I never stopped. So.
Like 1992, nice. Undertaker. You know.
Yes. Yes. Will Andrews, definitely. Even the red hair. Yep.
A band once had me as a guest on stage, and I was like, can you play the Undertaker theme? And I'll come running out and just shake the ropes of the Warrior.
Yes. I think you mean the Ultimate Warrior theme.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what did I say?
Undertaker.
See, that's because this is weird.
Yeah.
Would you like an egg roll? Oh.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Try and mash it up against the screen and see if I can taste it.
Yeah.
Elsa here.
So did you guys, this single, is this a standalone single, or is there more songs where this came from?
We've got three others already tracked, and going to the studio with John Plum back at London Bridge, back to 2 Inch doing the deal. Cause we really like John was fantastic to work with. I actually, the first time I tracked with John was in my first band in my early 20s. This is now my third band. John, well,
he's kind of your dude.
Song Windowpane did, this is four, but
I tracked with him with Amadon back in 2016, 2015. So that was fun too. It's just great.
He's fun to work with. I love
to work with.
Yeah.
He puts up with me really well.
He seemed to really understand our sound and our vibe, like right off the bat.
Yeah, like this member, like he added those bells and I was like, well,
okay.
If you would have told me like you're gonna add bells to it, I'd have been like,
I don't know.
I like that idea.
I just did it here. What do you think?
Yeah. And he tripped me out and made me sound like a good singer. So
that's always
not hard to do, Jaundice.
That's hard to do, man.
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. But that's just me. I'm just a listener. I'm not the artist. I'm just from the listener's perspective, you sound pretty damn good, but you know.
Yeah, he sounds damn good.
That's my job, is to gas you guys up.
Like, so. Seriously, we track vocals for this demo. John had just puked. He was so hungover.
Yeah.
He literally just went and just puked his brains out. And he still had like some veins popping.
Oh.
And track this song in one take. It sounds amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still got it.
He's going to be good on the road, man. No matter how much he drinks, you know.
I haven't been drunk in a year, by the way.
Yeah. What was that?
I haven't been drunk in a year, by the way.
Wow. Congratulations.
Let's just add that.
Yeah. Just spice on top.
Maybe more like 10 months.
Awesome. Well, okay. So
we're going to hit the studio with John at London Bridge in February.
Killer. Well, this is going to be rad again Saturday, January 22nd at the Crocodile. I am curious about going back to that. So the initial jam session with you guys, was there a vision for the band, or did you guys kind of just go into it organically? Like, let's just see what happens.
The best part was there was absolutely no vision. We were just friends jamming.
Yeah.
Felt really good.
Yeah.
I recorded everything, so
yeah, not the very first one, which we would have, because that will always be the elusive best jam, right?
There's something,
right? But then we kind of looked at each other and we're like, dude, you want to do this again in a couple of days? And we were all stoked about it. Came down from then on, we just started basically tracking everything, and we'd go on a 20-minute jam, we just push it, you know, we Pro Tools set up in the room,
our box,
and everything's messed
our box lights up.
So yeah, we could just record jams as we went.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we'd go in and listen to them and be like, well, this part would be a great verse. This would be a great, this is our great bridge section. And lots of our songs were born that way. The original, we had some parts that we had worked out before that.
That was a joke.
Yeah. Tell the story of that one.
It was like our friend Brian was like,
how do you write songs, John? Like, you know, so like, I don't know. And I just did
the song. We're just going to sit there and play a
little. And then we learned it.
Yeah. And ended up like trying to show him as a joke. He's like, yeah, we just kind of sit here and just play with it. And it sounded really cool. And so I was like, what was that?
Yeah, that's a great riff, dude. Yeah.
And the main riff sounds like a slowed down Dio song or something. I don't know.
Nice.
It's so close to being corny.
I've never heard that before, but
it's like, bro, down.
Oh, don't put that in my head.
Yeah, the intro. Yeah. Come well, on. Thanks, John. Now we're going to be known as that band. Yeah.
Yeah, spandex. Bring your spandex to
the Yeah, hell yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
People will be like, I'm confused. There's like 20 suits and there's spandex. And yeah. Hey. Is there a theater here?
Yeah.
Okay, so the again, the show is the January 22nd. You know, it's been you know, postponed a few times. Obviously, there's been things, you know, we could all get down on in the last 20 months or 19 months. There's a lot of negativity, but there have been the positives. And in closing, before we jump into the song, what is, and Tony, let's start with you. What's one thing that you're thankful for from the last, you know, 20 months or so, you know, during this time? Yeah. What's one thing you're thankful for?
Well, it was really, I mean, I was running all the social media and just a lot of stuff for Windowpane for like 13 years straight.
Yeah.
And so kind of when that band, when we had kind of called it to an end, it was really nice to just get back to just playing music, just writing music again. You know, it's not the constant hustle of, you know, got to get this going. We got to get this promo. How are we going to work this? How are we going to get this?
Yeah, selling tickets, doing this, posting that. Yeah.
It's just constant. And to basically get out of that kind of headspace was really nice.
And right into another one.
And yeah, but then we were just writing songs, you know, and then we were kind of gearing up to do the whole trip, to do the whole big push and get back back into the business side once more. But then when it shut down, it was kind of nice because I like honestly wasn't ready to totally get back into the rap race, you know? Yeah. And so it was really nice. I mean, I wrote a full instrumental creepy big band swing album as well.
Awesome.
London Bridge, and God, I haven't even told anyone about that. But anyway, so yeah, that'll be coming out later too.
Killer.
Then shortly after that, or shortly after kind of working on those tunes, like we started jamming and doing this whole thing. So the really nice part has been to totally tap into that creativity place, you know, just back into the world without having to worry about how to make it work in the business side, you know?
Yeah.
It's total just music and whatever we want to do.
The artistic side of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the music side of the music business.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, it's been nice.
Awesome. Jaundice, what about you, man? What's one thing that you've been thankful for, you know, whether personal or artistic or anything for the last, you know, year and a half or so?
A little bit of like clear-mindedness and comfortability. Like, I was in a really bad like situation for a while. You know? Mm-hmm. So, have a newfound, like, I have like a person that I like being with.
Like, yeah.
Just like along with sobriety kind of comes like all these chances to make more music. So I don't like to leave the house now. It's like people talk to me and I'm like, oh, where's my baritone? You know? So
yeah,
there's a lot of music. I mean, there's so much music. Like I've never had, it hurts my brain. There's so much.
It's a good problem to have.
So yeah, there's going to be a lot of music coming out. It's just
awesome.
Like, I'm half-assing each one, like equally though, you know, like working on them all at the same time. It's like a really bad 3D printer.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm
thankful to have like, it's almost like a nice life. Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm not going to dump chemicals on it.
Well, you got the pants for it, man.
Dude.
Yes.
Look at these things. Dude,
please tell me you brought me back a pair of those.
Oh, my God. I actually bought my nephew those.
Did you?
Yeah. I bought them for Christmas for him.
I was hiding outside of his mailbox.
Oh, my God. Great minds think alike. Kristen, what about you, man? What about you? What's something personally or artistically or anything in your life that you're thankful for in the last, you know, year and a half or so, of not being able to play shows?
Well, like personally, kind of piggyback on both of these guys, it was nice to kind of take a break from doing like so much music stuff and having to focus on that. It got me to a point where I got so bored. I'm like, I don't even know what I like to do anymore. So I was able to kind of look back into my past, all the random things that I like to do. So I started skateboarding again. I started, awesome. You know, going longboarding and, you know, just going out and actually making sure to be with my friends that I haven't really been hanging out with that much, kind of get back to my old roots and try and find that spark that I had when I was actually playing music before. It's like, honestly, I felt like the last couple of years I've been like phoning it in just because, oh, this is what I do. So this is what I have to do. And it's like, honestly, just through jamming with this band, it's just like, oh my God, I actually like playing music. This is nice. So I don't know, this last year, just kind of reconnecting with who I feel like I can be. And it's just been nice to have to take a step back and be bored. It's like, okay, now what do I do to fill my time? And just, I don't know.
That's wonderful.
And getting in a better headspace and doing great.
You look fabulous.
Yeah. Stop drinking for like 8 months. Just help one drop like 40 pounds just some. From not give drinking some. Beer.
Goddamn.
Yes. Dude, no, seriously. Like, you look great.
Awesome. Right on, guys. Well, it just sounds like a lot of positive momentum, positive headspace, and you guys are ready to get at it. And again, January 22nd, the debut.
Well, what are you thankful for?
Yeah,
I am thankful. I'm thankful for this, man. I'm thankful for I really during the pandemic, I just like doubled down and just like I started doing a podcast for this wrestling company. And so I started talking with a lot of wrestlers for the Defy Wrestling. I've talked to a lot of people from Metal Shop and Loud Local, and just having this, you know, I created this little studio for myself to do interviews. And I'm not a musician myself, but I'm just such a fan of music. And I got to, you know, speak with so many people and kind of just like provide an outlet for them and for myself to just kind of like have these conversations. So I think I've gotten a lot better and more comfortable at doing interviews, to be honest. So
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really talked to anybody in the last show.
We're so out of practice. I just got back from Hawaii. I'm just like, oh.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, and one thing that I should mention is the Crocodile is doing split nights these days because they've got their main stage room,
mm-hmm.
got another room.
Mm-hmm.
And so this show is a early show. Doors are at 4:30. Yep. Widget plays at 5:30. Van Ash plays at 6:30. We play at 8. The noise curfew for the main PA has to be done by 9. And that's so then the band who starts in the other room, their fans don't have to hear two bands at once, you know, but we can still hang out at the Crocodile all night. We'll still be, you know, hanging with our friends and, and we'll still be able to chill. We're not going to be in a rush getting out of there, but we just have to stop by 9. So,
okay.
So yeah, it's going to be an early one. Everyone's going to have to wake up extra early that day.
Oh no, you have to be up at the latest noon.
Right?
Oh no. 4:30. Yeah. How late? How early? No, it's that's decent. And it'll be dark and it'll seem like night. At that point,
That's a great point, man. It's still going to be, it'll be like a show in the summertime.
It'll be pitch black. So
it's going to be on stage.
Basically be night. So it's awesome, man. Well, again, the 22nd, doors open at 4:30. You said Woodshed's on at 6 or 5?
They're on at 5:30.
Perfect. So
6:30, we're on at 8. Yep.
Awesome. Make sure you get there before 5:30 for Woodshed. Awesome band. The farewell performance of Van Epps and then Mean Genius. Again, the 22nd. Is it sold out?
No.
Okay.
It's funny because we were just trying to figure out where tickets are at because it had sold quite a bit
because they changed
back in March of 2020. Yep. You know, and now everyone's trying to keep track of what was sold and where everything was in. But yeah, it's looking, I mean, if everyone shows up who bought tickets 2 years ago and 4 months ago when we were postponed again.
Yeah.
And then now, it should be. I don't think it'd be sold out, but should be. Might be.
All right.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm not buying
tickets. Yes. Get your tickets again, the 22nd at the Crocodile, the brand new Crocodile. Used to be El Gaucho. You'll get to see that awesome.
Room.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So again, the 22nd, and we're going to go into the first song, the debut song from Mean Genius. It's called The Ritual. Who wants to tell me about this? Who wants to throw into the song?
Chris. I don't know. What the song's about.
It's pretty, I don't know. It's kind of just like a reflection at the very end of a bad situation.
And okay.
Kind of just, there's a part on it where it's like, just picture me skipping down the road with a bucket full of my enemy's testicles.
Nice.
With like smeared lipstick.
It's very visual. I like it. Awesome.
It's about torching the heads you've acquired, I guess. I can't say acquired anymore. I try to use it in a sentence the other day.
I can't say sentence either.
Yeah.
Sentence.
You're going to talk like me soon, man.
Well, here's the ritual. It's Mean Genius here on Loud Local Stay Home Sessions.
Tonight I finally saw again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.